A couple of weeks ago, I got to the part of my series was trusting God with the past. And what I hope that you got from that message was that you can't do your thing with God until you have left your past behind. And then last week, I dealt with trusting God with the present. And I hope you got from that to walk by faith. You need to trust God with your present circumstances. This week I want to deal with trusting God with your future. To experience the promised good results, you need to trust God with your future. We stand today facing a very new set of realities. Pandemic has changed the world that we live in. I mean, now I understand that there are 5 different strains of the COVID-19 virus. Does that change anything? When will COVID-19 be defeated? What will be the new norms? What will the new norm look like? Will the vaccinations protect us? Will there be any side effects? Will my job be there when this is all over? Will the company that I work for survive? How will I be financially? You know, the questions go on and go on and go on and on. If we ever had a time in our lives that we had to worry about the future, really now is it. But the challenge in all of this, do you trust God to work out your future? Well, how do we know when we're trusting God to work out our future? Very simple answer. The absence of worry. If there is worry in our heart, we're not trusting God with the future. Let me define for you the word worry. This is the best definition. I got this from Wikipedia. I don't usually trust Wikipedia unless I check it with other sources. But this one was good. Worry refers to the thoughts, the images, the emotions, and the actions of a negative nature in a repetitive, uncontrollable manner that results from the proactive, cognitive risk analysis made to avoid or to solve anticipated potential threats and their potential consequences. Did you get that? maybe I should use a simpler definition. It's that mental distress that results from concern about something that hasn't happened yet, something that's impending, something that's anticipated. It's the negative feelings you get when you feel you cannot control the future, and that these events will affect your life or somebody that you love. We worry about the future basically when we forget that God is in control and that he has promised us that he will work out all things for our future. Remember Romans 8:28, for God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So this morning what I'd like to share with you is that you can have victory over worrying about the future by recognizing the truths that we find here in Matthew chapter 6. So would you turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. The first thing I see here is worry chokes the life out of you. Verse 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? See, there's this choice in life. You have a choice. Who will you trust with your future? It could be the wisdom of the world through our own reasoning and understanding. Or is it the word of the creator of the universe, Jesus? In verse 24, verse 6, here it says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. There's two choices we can make about the future. We can trust it in our own reason and understanding, or we can trust the word of the Creator of the universe. Jesus talks about what happens when we rely upon earthly wisdom for our understanding. I'm going over to Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. And there we read, "The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who heard the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked it, making it unfruitful." Notice the word here, choked. It comes from the Greek verb sumpiniko. And it means to strangle completely. If I took my hands and put them around your neck and squeezed until the life came out of you, that's sumpiniko. Or if you're swimming, it means to drown, and you're pulled under. It also, a simpler meaning is to crowd out. It's sort of like during this COVID period, you go to a store and it says only three people allowed in, and you're not allowed in because there's three people in there. You're choked out. I remember when I was in my late teens. I had a love for Coke. I don't so much anymore, but then Coke was my very favorite drink. And what I loved to do is I'd sit in my chair and watch television and drink my can of Coke. And one day my younger sister, a couple of years younger than me, came up and wanted a drink of my Coke. But I was not about to share it with her. And so I went up to guzzle the Coke, and she grabbed the bottle and held it there. And what happened is I ingested the Coke into my lungs. I want to tell you, that experience, I mean, nothing else in the world mattered. What I was watching on television, I don't even remember. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered as I was choking and turning red and rolling on the floor. And that's what worry does to us. It chokes out the world around us so that we don't see the important things. Nothing else matters. Now, there's two reasons why worrying is detrimental. First of all, it takes our focus off what matters. That's a big one. Here in Matthew chapter 6, he says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life or about what you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important?" See, Jesus is referring to our ability to provide food and clothing in the future. And he's saying, do not worry about your life. And the actual translation, if you were to translate it word for word from the Greek, it's take no thought about your life. And the word to take here is merimna. And what really it means is to be anxious. You see, we're not to be anxious about the future. Why are we not to be anxious in the future? Well, first of all, really, it's a command based upon the sufficiency and the grace of our God. Let me just share a few verses with you. Philippians chapter 4, 6. You should know that one off by heart. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request towards God," or your request to God. That's what we were commanded to do. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. See, we are called. It's a command of Scripture to trust in God for our future. The alternative, what do we focus on? Here at the end of this section that we're reading in 33, it says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us." You see, when we worry, what happens is that it chokes out the things that are important. We forget about God's kingdom, about His righteousness, and we focus on the things that are not important. We sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff, things of the future. There are more important stuff. Your walk with God, being a godly parent, loving your spouse, praying for those in need. And I could go on and on. But what happens is the small stuff, it tends to look big when it lies before us. A good example. You're coming to Walsh Baptist Church one Sunday, and you get about 2 kilometers from the church, and there's this big wall of fog. I mean, so you can hardly see through it. And you're 2 kilometers out and you think, should I go or shouldn't I? Some people will turn around and go home. Others will sort of edge through the fog until they get to Walsh. Now think about it for a minute. What is fog? Fog is water. That's all it is. It's water. And I did this calculation. I may be out by a couple of ounces. But if you take a 2 kilometer radius around the church here in Walsh, and 100 feet high, you would have approximately 6 ounces of water. We sweat the small stuff and miss the good stuff. Worry treats us that way. It chokes out life. The second bad reason here is that worry does not change a thing. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Think about it. You know, you're 30s or you're in your 40s or maybe you're in your big 50s. Or maybe you've passed the best before date. WDNCA. Worry does not change a thing. Write that down. Put it on a card. A little stop card, I call them. 4x5 card with the word stop on it, and you turn it around and it says, worry does not change a thing. And every time you worry, just pull it out and look at it. You see, the average Canadian lives 76 years. I'm 75. Whew. But each day after that is a gift. And who, by worrying, actually, let me take you over to Luke. Luke does another similar passage. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And Luke says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the future? Matthew goes on to say, record Jesus as saying, the flowers, look at them. They don't worry about being beautiful. They just are. Worry does not change a thing. So the first thing we saw was that worry chokes the life out of you. The second point is that worry sends the wrong message to God. I want you to think about this. It's a message we do not really want to send to God. See, God looks at our hearts. He knows our every thought, our every fear, our every worry. But what happens when we worry is we send two messages to God. Now, the first message, God, I don't matter to you. Can you imagine how God must feel? I mean, in all that he has done for us, he's given us his son Jesus, he's given us his word, he's given us the Spirit. And why do we worry about clothes? Matthew records, see how the lilies of the valley grow? They neither spin nor labor. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. See, God provides them one day at a time. And he provides for us much more. Jesus is recorded here in Matthew verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Worry says to God, you don't care. I don't matter to you, Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 31, there Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Can you imagine that? Well, some of us have a few less hairs than others, but there's still a lot of hairs. And God knows every hair upon our head. How do you think God feels when we don't put our trust in him for the future? A fellow said to me once that he had a very simple definition for sin. He said, sin is anything that takes the smile off God's face. And I think when we don't trust in God for the future, it takes the smile off his face. So our first message is, God, I don't matter to you. The second message that says that we don't want to send to God is, God, you're unplugged. God, you just don't know what's all about, what's happening. Worry says, you don't know my needs. You're not connected to me. Oh, let me take you back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 32. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Notice that. He knows. He knows what we need. God knows your needs. God knows your heart's desire. God knows your future. God knows your life story. There is nothing about you that God does not know. When we say, God, you're unplugged, it's our problem. Worry doesn't change a thing, but worry can be overcome. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, what we need to recognize is worry is a sin. We need to confess it and repent of it. And, oh, some people say, well, it's just a character weakness, or everyone worries. No, it's a sin. Call it a sin. Worry is not trusting God for the future, and that is a sin. It's something that Jesus commands us to do. In fact, here in Matthew chapter 6, three times Jesus says, do not worry. Verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34. Do not worry. James chapter 4, verse 17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it sins. Acts chapter 3, verse 9. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. And when we recognize it's our sin, and we confess it, and we repent, then we need to choose the opposite. And that is faith. That is believing that God will do what he says he will do, that he will look after us, that he will provide our faith, provide our future. Faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it, no matter how I feel, because God has promised a good result. It's a matter of choice, and we need to choose faith. Once we've confessed and repented, chosen faith, then our direction needs to be seek the kingdom and his righteousness. Not to sweat these small things, but to begin to spend our time in God's word, drawing close to him, trusting him with our present, trusting him with our future. That's what he calls us to do. That's what he calls us to be. People who put our trust in him. People who faith. People who walk by faith, not by sight. That's what we're called to be. And we can do that by trusting God one day at a time. I thought one of the best things that Alcoholic Anonymous has done is they have a bumper sticker that says one day at a time. And you see, when we take it one day at a time, it's easy to trust God for today. Much easier to trust him for today than it is for tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus, in trying to explain to us how we trust God for the future, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. We are to deal with today. We are to put our trust in the Lord today. We are to seek his kingdom and his righteousness today. And God will give us the strength only for today, for the troubles of this day, one day at a time. And when tomorrow comes, God will provide for tomorrow just like he provided for today. And when the next day comes, God will provide for the next day just like he's provided for today. Our God is a trustworthy God. Has worry been robbing you of your relationship with God? Today is the time to put your future back in God's hands, because he is faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus, is faithful. What a beautiful verse. God is faithful.